Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14. We're going to read one verse this morning in John 14. That's verse number 27. I'll read aloud as you read silently through the first time. And then, as our custom is, we'll read the second time through in unison. That's John 14, 27 is our text this morning. As you're finding your place, please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let's read together, please. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for our pastor who faithfully comes and preaches it to us week after week, month after month, year after year. Thank you for him. God, we'd ask that you'd use him again this morning. Empower him with thy Holy Spirit. Help him to help us this morning. We want to hear from heaven today. And Father, I pray if there's somebody in this room that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray they'd settle it this morning. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I need you to check your cell phone, please, and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Make sure. Inevitably, someone thinks, oh, I know I have it off. And then someone who doesn't go to church calls you while you're in church. And then it gets more difficult after that. And so help us, please, while you try to say,
I'm in church. Don't talk to me. I'm in church.
That kind of thing. So help us there, please. We would appreciate that very much. Last week, we talked to you about what is real joy. I want to talk to you about the twin brother of joy, and that is peace today. And I want to talk to you about what is real peace. What is real peace? I need you this morning to keep your Bible open at this passage in John 14, and then we're going to move around in the Bible a little bit this morning because we need to find out what real peace is. Did you notice when Jesus said, my peace I give unto you? He said, not as the world giveth. There are people today trying to find peace in this world. Peace in their lives, in their hearts, peace in their families. The world itself is trying to make peace between warring factions who, by the way, have been fighting with each other for centuries. And they're trying to discuss it and talk about it and go to peace conferences and have peace talks, try to resolve those things. I'm not against them. I'm just saying that's what the world's trying to do today. But separate of the world situation and separate of the peace in the Middle East and everywhere else it seems to be, how about peace in our own hearts and our own lives? What is real peace anyway? Is it the absence of conflict? Is peace resolving all your differences with people? So you're at peace with everybody. The Bible says, as much as lieth in you, be at peace with all men. Is that what peace is? So is it something that exists in our hearts that gives us peace even when everything around us seems to be going to pieces? To some degree, yes. But you know what the word peace in the Bible means? It means to be joined together with nothing between. To be at peace in the Bible means to come to a place of confident rest. But the Bible never implies or teaches us that peace means all our problems go away. We have no conflicts or problems with anybody. We have no difficulties to face in life. And there's nothing before us that causes us any concern. The Bible never implies that kind of peace. Listen, when it calls peace in the Bible, when the idea of the word here, peace, when it means joined together, it means nothing between you and what you are joined with. And we'll talk to you about who that should be in a moment. So you see why the world's peace isn't going to work. Not as the world giveth, Jesus said, give I unto you. Because whatever the world does to try to make peace, it doesn't seem to last, does it? You realize in 6,000 years of human history, on this earth, we have known 22 years in 6,000 years where there was no war or conflict going on somewhere in the world. There seems to always be that. The Bible tells us in the last days before Christ returns, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There's situations that are right now taking place on this earth, ladies and gentlemen, that all it will take is just a turn of one or two events, especially in the Middle East today. And that whole place is just going to explode in conflict. See, Pastor Johnson, you're not giving me any peace this morning. Now look at me carefully. See, that's the problem. We think somewhere, some way down the road, that the Secretary of State is going to be able to discuss things with people and make peace. That somehow in the world's idea of peace is try to remove conflict and get everybody to get along. You can't even get that in Walmart. Whoever designed the aisles in Walmart did not design the aisles in Walmart for more than one basket at a time. And then there are those people who take up the whole aisle, so you can't get around them. And they act like they're the only person on the planet. And they're taking their time picking out whatever item it is. Well, you try to, well, never mind. You know what I'm talking about. The point. But see, that's what the world does. The world tries to give peace to people. You know, sing, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and break out the Rainbow Coalition, and everybody's going to try and get along with each other, and can't we all just get along? I'm not saying that those things are not worthy objectives. I'm just simply saying the world tries to do that to join things together God never intended to join, and they leave out the one who gives peace. Look at John 14, 27. Jesus said, my peace I leave unto you. Look at the verse again, please. Follow very carefully. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. He's saying, I want you to be joined with me. Because that's where my peace comes from. If you're joined with the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's the opportunity of not only having peace, but having His peace. He said, I leave it with you. It says, peace I leave with you. If you leave something somewhere, you know how it is? The older that you get, the more you think about the hereafter. Right? You find yourself standing in the middle of the living room going, what was I here after? And you left it somewhere and you can't find it. People say, make a list. I forget where I put the list. So that doesn't help me any. And then your wife asks you to go find something. Oh, I left it for you in the cabinet. Left side, third shelf. And you go in there, you can't find it. You can't. And then there goes your peace. But anyway, the point is, we have this issue. We have to understand something. The peace of which Jesus speaks here, the one He said He left us, the one He said that is His peace, is a joining together with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where you find peace. That's why the world can't get that. They're trying to get the Jews and the Arabs to have peace with each other, but they're going to leave Jesus out. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. And they won't have peace until Jesus comes back, rules and reigns from David's throne, and then He will make peace because He'll make the world join up with it. That's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. It's world peace. It's individual peace. It's peace in your heart. It's peace in your home. It's peace in your family. Peace comes from being joined with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His peace. So then the issue today is, what is real peace? Is real peace is being joined with Christ. So then if we understand what that means, then do we understand the next issue, which is, where do you get this real peace? And then how do you keep it? The world can't maintain peace. They can't maintain peace in their hearts, their lives. If they get people to get along with each other, they have peace treaties. Those are not always honored. But for you and I to have His peace, Jesus' peace, We know where to get it. It's from Him. Now we need to know how to keep it. And here it is this morning. I want you now to take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, please. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. I want you to turn to your scriptures with me. We're going to go to two different places in the Bible, and you'll think you'll find them very quickly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. So, we know to have peace is to be joined with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? My peace I leave unto you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Well, let's see it. It's here. Romans 5 verse 1. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, now watch this statement, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified through Christ gives us peace with God. Now listen, this is very important. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand, justification is a legal term. That means not guilty. God declares you as not guilty. That is an act, not a process. You do not work at being justified before God. You come to God through Jesus, and God, for Christ's sake, the Bible says, justifies you in His sight. He declares you as not guilty. Justification is one of those many wonderful expressions in the Bible that talks about a soul's salvation. When by faith we trust the payment Jesus made for our sins, that's how the sin debt is removed. And the only way, by the payment Jesus made. We trust that payment that Jesus made. When we do so and ask Him to save us, God declares us as not guilty. Justified in the sight of God. And when you are justified in the sight of God, what is the product? You have peace with God. You are joined with God now. You have what you could not earn on your own. My friend this morning, look at this preacher today. If you're trying to earn justification before God, you'll never get there. There's one term of justification. It's the cross. You come to the cross trusting Christ as your Savior. God will declare you as not guilty in His sight for the sake of the Jesus who paid that penalty for you in your place. You see, here's what most people don't understand, and I hope we get it clearly today. To this thing of justification, there are two sides to justification. There's God's side and there's man's side. When Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that Jesus reconciled us to God. Because of our sin, our back was turned on God. And because of our sin, God's back was turned on us. Just like He turned His back on His own Son when Jesus became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God turned His back on His own Son because Christ became sin in God's sight. That's why Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? But when Jesus died bearing that sin, the Bible says God was reconciled to us because God accepted the payment Jesus made. But wait a minute, now because of sin, our back is still turned on God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to our own way, yet the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. But when a sinner turns to Jesus as the Savior and the only hope of their salvation, for Jesus to say God forgives them and they are justified in it, you're justified in the sight of God. That's why, look at me, you can't make the terms of justification. You can't say, well, I'm at peace with God, but did you think that maybe God is not at peace with you? Do you realize that He is not? Until the moment of salvation, when you trust Christ as your Savior, He's not at peace with you. And friend, you don't stand before yourself at the judgment bar of God. You stand before the God whose back is still turned on you. That's why people go to hell when they die. They go to hell because they will not accept the terms of God's justification, which is Jesus Christ, the payment that He made. And then when you are, my friend, you are joined with God. Through Jesus Christ, we are joined with God. And we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's peace that Jesus left us. You don't have to find it this morning. If you've never settled this thing of salvation in your life, you don't have to find peace today. God has provided it for you right here, right now, this morning, today. You can settle that thing and have peace with God in your heart if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and for your salvation. This peace that we must have, that's joined with the Lord. comes through salvation, peace with God. Now go to Philippians chapter 4, please. So, well, I'm saved, Pastor Johnson, but there are a lot of places and areas of my life I'm not at peace today. I'm not at peace about my circumstances. I'm Philippians chapter 4, please. I'm not at peace about my relationships and my home, my family, my marriage, my children, my life. I'm not at peace at work, Pastor Johnson. I'm not at peace about my financial situation. I've got this on my mind and that on my mind and these things on my heart and my life. Then God has something for the child of God. You see, getting peace is one thing. Keeping it is another. So once you have, by the way, you cannot have the second phase, if you want to call it, or the second step of peace until you have the first one, and that's salvation through Christ. But then Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. Now, if you're like me, one of those heathens who writes in your Bible, word next to the word careful, write worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, there's a maintenance package there. The peace of God will keep, that means guard and protect you, hold you in that joined place between you and the Lord. God will do that. He'll give you a peace that passeth all understanding. You can't get it in a bottle. You can't get it in a pill bottle. You can't get it in a counseling session. You can't get it in a book. You can't get it from mankind. You can't get it from a sunrise or a sunset, a bird's song. You can't get it from a blue sky. You get it from God. That's where it comes from. And God promises it'll be a peace that is beyond understanding. You can't explain it to someone. You can't. All you can tell them is, you know what? Everything's all right in my Father's house because you have peace with God. And now you have the peace of God. So I don't have that, Pastor Johnson. That's because of verse 6. When it says be careful for nothing, let me give you the word, the Greek word for nothing here, an interpretation for that. May I? It says, be careful for nothing. You know what that word nothing means in the Greek? Nothing. Just what the Bible says right there. Nothing. Nothing from the past. Nothing in the present. Nothing in the future. Nothing you can control. Nothing you can't control. Nothing that happens to you. Nothing that came to you that you wanted. Nothing that came to you didn't want. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's a large word that encompasses everything when it means nothing. But I'm not to worry about it. Now, here's our problem. Because you're not like this, so let me give you a word of testimony. But we worry, don't we? Seriously. I need to take a little poll this morning. How many of you would say you don't ever worry about anything? Ever. Would you put your hand in the air, please? And then you can come up and finish the sermon. Look at all these backslidden people. That's terrible. No, you know what it means is we're human. Now listen to me. I don't care who you are, how good a Christian you are. There is no way you can go through life without being careful about things. Careful doesn't mean watch out for this. It means to have the cares of life to fill you up. Careful. Well, then how can we possibly fulfill the verse, Pastor Johnson? Be careful for nothing but in everything by, what does it say now? Prayer. And supplication, two forms of prayer here. Prayer is the asking. Supplicating is asking and trusting God's supplication, meeting the need. And with thanksgiving, you let your request be made known unto God. I prayed about it once and it didn't work. Well, that was your problem. You prayed about it once. You got in a jam with something. You went, oh, God, help me. Well, I didn't get any peace. It's not an act. It's a process here. Salvation is an act. You trust Christ, you get saved. Boop. For the child of God now, you have peace with God, but you don't have the peace of God because we're going to carry these burdens of life on our shoulders and we're just going to sit around and fret and fume and sputter and spew and worry all night long and pace the floor and we're going to be so troubled about things in our life. See, why do people do that, Pastor Johnson? You tell me why. You tell me what keeps me up at night. Pastor Johnson, man of faith, you mean you worry about things? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Sometimes I get full of care. You pillow your head at night and sleep won't come. But the issue of prayer isn't just saying some words to God. If I listen now, if I pray and supplicate, it means I take it to the Lord. I really do take it to God, believing the only one that can really do anything about this is God anyway, and He is, my friend. He is bigger than anything you face, bigger than any problem that lays on your heart today. He is the God of heaven, the big G God, ladies and gentlemen, who can do that. If I'll take everything to God and supplicate and go before the Lord and say, God, I need help here. I'm trusting you. The prayer is not the answer. It's prayer with the trust combined. That's the issue. Do I really believe God even cares? Do I really think God would even do anything? Why would He answer my prayers? I've had people sometimes tell me, well, I don't ask for what I need because I don't think that's right. Well, you're out of your mind. You have not because you ask not. There's a great principle in prayer, and that is you better be asking God for what you need. It isn't just being selfish, it's supplicating, it's trusting God for what you need. But I have found this out. I can worry, but I can't do both. Listen, I cannot pray and supplicate and worry at the same time. One or the other is going to have to go. And if we continue to worry, it's because prayer and supplication really is not taking place. I'm really not taking it to the Lord and leaving it there. I've not gone to 1 Peter where it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I haven't gone to Matthew 11 where Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And take my burden upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's interesting, the word rest and peace are very similar in the Bible. You see, if I'll do that, but I say, preacher, I'm working at it. Okay, you keep working at it. At some point when you really do take this thing to the Lord and you really do pray and supplicate, at some point God will replace worry with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You'll actually pillow your head and go to bed at night and say, okay, God. There have been some times I go to bed at night and I say, Lord, I got so much on my heart and my mind tonight. I'm so tired. I need some sleep. You promised, you said you'd give your beloved sleep. I don't know if I qualify, but you did say you love all your children, so I'm one of those, I know. And dear God, tonight, could I just pillow my head and get some rest tonight, please? Somewhere between taking the load and somewhere between trusting God with that load is the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And then what happens? You join with Him. And now I have peace with God. And now I have the peace of God. My peace, Jesus said. I give you my peace. And now I'm joined with Him. Go down just a couple more verses and look at this. You know how you keep this peace? He says there in verse number 9. Now we've had peace, we've had peace with God and the peace of God. And in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, look at this statement. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Peace with God, peace of God. And now the next step, God Himself comes and the God of peace will be with you. Do you know what unlocks that? Two-letter word. Do you see it in verse number 9? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word, please? There it is. You know what's on the other side of the God of peace coming to be with you? Obedience to what He tells you. No, here's what we think. If God will give me peace, then I'll do what I'm supposed to do. Backwards. You do what you're supposed to do when you don't have peace, and God will give you peace. Better than that, He Himself will come and join up with you. Oh, the disciples, Jesus, the boats, the storms that they went through. Remember that? Now, one of the times the disciples are in a boat by themselves, and the Lord waited on the shore, and He told them, go to the other side, and I'll join you over there. Well, they're thinking the natural thought, he'll find another ship and he'll cross over. And Jesus had His own way of getting across. And the storm came up and the disciples are crying out for fear. And suddenly here comes Jesus walking on the top of the storm himself. And they see him and they cry out. Peter has a little incident there where he says, Lord, bid me come. And he slides down and he goes out and gets joined with Jesus in the storm. But when Jesus got in the boat, the first thing he did before he calmed the storm was say, peace be unto you. Then he calmed the storm. See, we think, boy, I'll tell you, if the Lord would just make some of these things in my life go away, I would be at peace. What are you going to do when the next storm comes? Does he have to calm every storm in your life for you to have peace? Or can God, the God of heaven, give you peace in the storm? Because I don't mean to be a negative Nelly today and give you bad news, but the truth is, you're going to have a few more storms before it's over. There will be a few other things. Well, I remember as a boy events that happened in my life, and I thought, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to me. And for an 8-9-year-old boy, it probably was pretty bad. But since then, I would trade some of the things I've been through in years past for those 9-year-old boy worst things that quickly. But you see, it's the God of peace that's with you that makes the real difference. Now listen. You have to start where God tells you to start. Peace with God. Salvation first. Then the peace of God that comes through trusting carefully enough to pray and supplicate your matters before the Lord until the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes. And then if I will continue in my obedience, do, Christian, do. Do what the Bible tells you to do. What is that area of obedience you know you're not doing? That's the thing that's keeping the God of peace from coming to really be with you now. As a pastor, I have people all the time, not even members, but people all the time stop me. I was out here one day in the front of the church and somebody stopped me and had troubles in their life. And I tried to help and encourage them. I said, well, one of the things you need to do is, and they live within walking distance of this church. I said, one of the things you need to do is you need to get in church. Church isn't the resolution for every problem in your life, but it is something God wants you to do. I assure you, you take that step, and this was last Wednesday. And she's, oh, I'll be there tonight. She didn't come. She's not here this morning. And I guarantee you the problems that troubled her out that street out there on Wednesday morning trouble her right now this morning. And it's not just, oh, yeah, I need to go to church. No, no, no. It's I need to do what I'm supposed to do. If I won't do what I'm supposed to do, how do I expect the God of peace to meet me on my terms instead of His? And that's the issue, is it not? I'm setting the terms for peace. I'm going to live my life, do what I want. God should just show up and give me peace. No, He says you do, and then the God of peace comes. I don't always feel like it, Pastor Johnson. I don't either. There's some days when I think, you know, Lord, I'm going by the liquor store, give me a couple long necks to go sit in the backyard and just hang out. When they smell it on my breath, they can fire me. Or get me a prescription to smoke pot. I had one of those once. It was called the 60s. But you know, the truth is, so you're not a very good Christian, are you, Pastor Johnson? No, I'm not. No, I acknowledge that this morning. You want to fire me, I'll give you my resignation. But yesterday, I just sat for a few minutes on that little place in the backyard. And I made peace with God. You got saved, Pastor Johnson? No, I got saved 50 years ago. I just decided, you know what? How do I expect God to meet me on my terms when I set terms? And I want to use the excuses of my life for why I don't have joy and peace and happiness in my life. That's not right. And I told God I was sorry. And God came and met with me on that little place in my backyard. And the storms are not going away, but there's peace in the midst of the storm. Because the God of peace showed up. That's what real peace is. I got my problems to pick up when I leave here today, just like you do. Ah, but there's a difference here. Peace with God. Peace of God that passeth all understanding. Can't explain it to you. Don't know what it is. It's like someone trying to describe something so wonderful in your life that no one has ever experienced. They'll just have to know it and experience it to know what it is. But better than the peace of God that passeth all understanding is the God of all peace. And he's right on the other side of that do thing he wants you to do. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.